Welcome to this week's edition of Holy Apostles Weekly Sermons.
Blessed Master, him that proclaimeth the gospel of the Holy Apostle and Evangelist, John the Theologian.
May God honor the intercession of the Holy Glorious, all lovable Apostle and Evangelist, John the Theologian, grant utterance with great power unto thee that proclaimest the good tidings, unto the fulfillment of the gospel of his beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Wisdom, attend. Let us hear the Holy Gospel. Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed, and came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, when they which before had seen him that was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay, and anointed mine eyes, and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Then said they unto him, Where is he? He said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind, and it was the Sabbath day, when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, He put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, How can a man that is sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. They say unto the blind man again, What sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, He is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight, and they asked them, saying, Is this your son, who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind, but by what means he now seeth, we know not, or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him, he shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents, because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, He is of age, ask him. And again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then said they to him again, What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, Why, herein is a marvelous thing that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God, and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and is he that talketh with thee? And he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshipped him.
Hymns from the Pentecostarian, which are, I should remind you,
of equal standing with the writings of the fathers of our church. So here's one from Vespers last night, where the blind man says, "Was I born without eyes, perchance because of the sins of my parents?" From the Magnus Canon, "Thou gavest eyes to the blind man who came unto thee, O Christ." From the Ex Apostolarium of Matins, "Along the way our Savior found a man who lacked both sight and eyes." But this could also be written as a blind man without eyes. And from the Vespers, which would be served this evening if we were to do it, "The blind man was endowed with a genuine lack of eyes." Monday Vespers in the week of the blind man, "With his whole soul and mind and his tongue, the man who had in times not long past been blind confessed the one who had fashioned eyes for him out of spittle and clay and enabled him to see as all men do." I hope you've detected a pattern here. The tremendous quality of this miracle. This is not the only blind man that Christ ever gave sight to. The tremendous quality of the miracle is that he had been born blind. He had not had sight up to a certain point, and then his sight failed and he went blind, as frequently happens. But he had been born blind. And the passage in the Apostolarium, and actually many of the writings of the Church Fathers, indicate that as a result of his having been born blind, he actually did not have eyes. He had empty eye sockets. If you can imagine being born without something like eyes, they don't exist. If you're born blind, you just simply don't have that capacity. And he would have had empty eye sockets. So when we read that Jesus spit on the ground and kneaded clay out of the spittle and the dust, what is he doing? I think it's misleading because the King James translators chose to use the word anoint. And so it sounds kind of like he gently dabbed mud onto his eyes. But he's really applying mud to the man's eyes. St. Theophylact of Bulgaria says, "Jesus, our God, fashioned all the members of the blind man's body except for his eyes, which he omitted. And by healing them now, he completes the divine act of creating and demonstrates that he is the creator." Later he says, "Jesus created eyes for the blind man just as he had done for Adam. He did not merely fashion the eyes or open them, but gave them vision." So the image that we're presented with here is that Jesus actually makes eyes for the blind man out of the spittle of his own mouth and the dust of the earth. And then he sends the man to go and to wash in the pool of Siloam so that there would be witnesses. So that many people would see this blind man stumbling through the streets with the muddy eyes, going to the pool of Siloam to cleanse his face and to realize that he had been given sight by Jesus. So in answer to the question, where does it say in the scriptures that Jesus is God? We see very clearly him acting not just as healer, but as creator. As one who is able to make in the same way, in the identical fashion, that initially, at the beginning of the creation, God formed man out of the dust of the earth. Jesus Christ demonstrates his divinity by doing the same thing. Taking the dust of the earth and forming the missing parts of the man's body, and bestowing power on them to fulfill their appointed role. So we see Jesus not saying to the people, "I am God." But we see him rather acting as God in a way that no one else ever did. The tremendous quality of the miracle is not lost on anyone involved. It's not lost on the blind man. It's not lost on his parents. It is not lost on the Pharisees. They understand that what has been done has never been done before. Since the world began, everybody says it, since the world began, it has never been heard of that anyone gave sight to one who was born blind. And even the Pharisees are divided over the issue. So we understand that if Jesus reveals himself to be God, then he truly is God. And that if he reveals himself to be God, then the things that he teaches us about God, about ourselves, about how we should live, bear the weight of the commandments of God. So whenever Jesus Christ says something like, forgive your enemies, this is not a quote out of a self-help book, right? Forgive your enemies because then you'll be happier. Or forgive your enemies because then you'll make them angry. Or forgive your enemies because then you'll reconcile themselves to you. No. Forgive your enemies because God commands it. And if you will be a disciple of God, a follower of God, a true worshiper of God, then you will follow the commandments of God. Jesus said that. He who loves me keeps my commandments. So when we're commanded to forgive our enemies, we do it because God commands it. When we're commanded to pray for our enemies, to love our enemies, we do those things because God commands it. God himself orders that we do those things. When we are commanded to love one another, we do it not because it's easy, because it's not, and not because it'll make all of us happy, because it doesn't, frequently. We do it primarily because the God who made us, and who loves us, and whom we love in return, has commanded that we also love one another. Jesus Christ speaks to us, and the words that he speaks to us are the very words of God himself. And so, brothers and sisters, as we draw near to the end of the Paschal season, and we come near to the end of time that we spend with the joyous singing of Christ is risen from the dead, let these words sink down into our hearts and understand that if we'll be true followers of Christ, we will do his commandments. Not because we have some kind of Not because we can justify them. Not because we have some kind of thoughts about, oh, okay, well, if I do that, it'll work out well. If I do that, it'll make me happy or make somebody else happy. No. Because those things, number one, they oftentimes prove false. Number two, if we do something because we have justified it in our own minds, then we're doing it because we just want to do it, right? But if we do something out of obedience to God, then we become true disciples of God, true followers of Jesus Christ, even when we do not want to forgive our enemies or love those in our families or those around us. If when we do not want to do those things, we still do them because Christ commanded it, then we are true followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has indicated to us the way of life, the way through this life into eternal life with him and the Father and the Holy Spirit for ages and ages.
Amen.
Christ is risen.
Indeed, he is risen.